Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome back to another broadcast here on God's Word to Man. I'm your host for tonight, Brother Kevin Bruce. And as always, I am excited about God's Word to Man. Amen. I believe that God's Word has the power and the ability to change anything in our lives. Amen. But, you know, oftentimes we fail to utilize our resources and take advantage of our resources, the great resources that God has given us, amen, to win in this life. God has designed for us to win in this life, amen. And I'm just another herald that to keep reinforcing and to inform you that God's desire for your life is winning in this life. He didn't put you here to be a pauper. He didn't put you here to be defeated. He didn't put you here to live a life of oppression. He put you here to live a life of depression, hurt, or harm, but he has made a way for us to overcome all of these things in life. He didn't say that they wouldn't come. He didn't say that the weapon wouldn't be formed, but it will not prosper against you. Amen. It will not prosper against you. You know, many, the mindset of so many people is the belief that when I get there, in the sweet by and by, all of my problems are going to be gone. And that is very true. But as I say, God has given us weaponry here that we can fight to maintain. His desire is that heaven comes to earth. That's our prayer. That's the prayer that he gave us. You know, a lot of people say, oh, it's the Lord's Prayer. Well, the Lord's Prayer is in John 17 chapter. But what the prayer that he gave his disciples to model themselves after was to pray that his kingdom come, his will be done. That is his greatest desire here for earth, that his kingdom come, his will be done. Amen. Isn't it exciting to know the Lord and to know his ways? Amen. And all of his benefits towards us. God has great benefits towards us that he desires for us to have. We didn't come up with these things. He did. So he wants us to have them more than we do. Amen. He says in his word, I believe it is Luke 12 chapter, he says, fear not, little flock, for it is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give it to me, and I want to receive it. In every area of my life, I can walk in victory, regardless of how big, how strong, or whatever it is that came. You cannot remain. This mountain cannot remain in my life. Amen. So God wants to give us a victory today, and he wants us to walk in it. Amen. And as I said, I'm here to reinforce that, and I pray that you will reinforce that in my life, in the times where I get weak, where I get weary, because this is what the body of Christ is supposed to do, uphold one another, to stand together, pray for one another. The Bible says that the strong shall bear the infirmities of the weak. Amen and amen. Before I go on, I want to give our broadcast and information. This is God's Word to Man. I am your host for tonight, Brother Kevin Bruce. And as I said, we are studying, we're going to be studying or continuing our study on strongholds. And everything that these strongholds, just to recap, everything that these strongholds bring in our lives is to kill our relationship with God. I'll say that again. Everything that these strongholds come to bring in our life, it is coming for the purpose of separating us and killing our relationship with God. Now notice how the Bible says that the enemy come but to kill, steal, and destroy. But he has come that you might have life, and not only have life, but you can not only just have life, just living life, but have it in abundance. Why are so many living that not living in abundance? Number one, because we don't understand the keys. We don't understand how to make God's word work for us. There are some things that we have to do. There are some secrets that the Bible speaks of those secret things that God wants to reveal. Why? Those are the mysteries that God wants to unfold to show us how we can unlock heaven and get everything that we pray for, get everything that is in his will for our lives. Amen and amen. Before I get started, I would like to open with prayer. So with that being said, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you would word my lips, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will break up the fallen grounds of the heart, that we will be able to receive and accept your word, Lord Jesus, that it will be planted, Lord, and that it will germinate, and Lord, that it will grow thereby, Lord, and that it will be fresh manna for our souls. In this we pray. Amen. So, we're talking about strongholds. And I believe that through these strongholds that our Lord and Savior, who has laid down his life for us, we often mischaracterize him. He has been mischaracterized by us. But not only that, but with the help of an enemy that wants you to think less of him than what he really is, to show forth his ability, his might in our lives. You know, we hear the stories of how great God is and all these things that he can do and all these attributes that he has. But when it comes time in our lives, when we're facing obstacles and when we're facing mountains in our lives, this is where God wants to prove himself and show himself strong on our behalf. And as we, as believers, press in and get a new mind and get a renewed mind daily, because the enemy comes to paint another picture of God. This is where it starts. This is how he fooled Eve, because he wanted to take away your sincere devotion. He wants to take away our sincere devotion to Christ, what, our dedication to Christ. So now it is up to us to get a picture of who God is outside of what we feel, outside of the whispers of Satan and what he tells us. So we have to reclaim our identity. So what happens when you're faced with obstacles and challenges in your life? What happens to you? What's the first thing that the enemy comes to do? He comes to get you to question your identity. I'll say that again. The moment we have hardships and face challenges in our lives, the first thing that happens is the enemy gets us to question our identity and who we are. Because you can't simultaneously claim the victory while you feel defeated. You can't make a decree if you feel like you have no decreeing power. Amen. You can't declare the word of God if it's not in you, if it's not packed away in you. You know, when Jesus, when the enemy came against Jesus, when Satan came against Jesus in the wilderness, he was at his most vulnerable point. But he had something packed away. That when the enemy came, that when the enemy came with his whispers and his lies, like he does to us every day. I don't know about you, but I get a visitation from the enemy every day. Every day. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody, but you get them every day too. Because he's constantly trying to get you to give up. He's constantly trying to get you to question God. But no one, but in turn, notice he doesn't want you to question him. He wants you to perceive what he's saying as truth. And this is why we have to speak truth understand the truth. What did the Bible say? Thy word is true. This is why we have to speak truth to lies, the lie that feels so true, the lie that feels like, oh, it looks true. It masquerades as true. It feels so true. So what do? We have to have an arsenal. Because the truth of the matter is, you said yourself, do you know how many people are suffering with anxiety? Hundreds of millions of people are suffering with anxiety. Nightmares, waking up in cold sweats. People are losing relationships because of stress. Marriages are falling apart. Everything that God ordered. People's hearts are failing them, as the Bible said, people's hearts are failing them for fear of the things that they can't, that they're looking on, people are checking out. You know how many people are on suicide watch because they can't handle life. We need to turn our focus and our attention back on God. We need to turn our focus and our attention back on Him. And it is important as believers to understand that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility in society to be a light. And we have to tell the truth. We have to learn to tell the truth. Amen. So I'm going to go to our call lines and bring on the caller. Hello, this is God's Word to Man. You're speaking with Brother Kevin. Who am I speaking with?
God bless you, brother. Brother Nate, how you doing, bro?
I'm blessed, Brother Nate. How are you?
Blessing the Lord. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ.
Amen. Amen. We're just here speaking about reclaiming identity. And just to give you a small recap, I stated that the moment we become under attack, the number one thing that the enemy is after in that attack is to get us to question our identity. Secondly, is to look at God as if He did something wrong. So the picture that he's trying to paint in our minds is it's all left up to God. When from the beginning, God gave man authority over the earth. And if you're a born-again believer, we talked about this in the last broadcast that I did. I talked about our DNA and what God has given us in our DNA. We are new creatures in Christ. Therefore, the Bible says that if we are new creatures in Christ and we are born in Him, then now we have His DNA living in us. And the Bible says that we are called, that we are partakers of His same divine nature. You know, we have children in the physical, we have children in the flesh. And they have our proclivities. They look like us. They sometimes have the same mannerisms as us, the same proclivities as us. So with God, when we're born into the family of God, the old has passed away. Now He gives you a new nature, a new identity. New DNA. You've been birthed differently. So now you have the power and the ability and the authority, the right and the responsibility to subdue earth and create the destiny that God has desired for you. And brother, I'm going to let you chime in on that.
Amen, brother. Yeah, you're definitely right. I think about when Jesus is led of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when Satan came at him, that was the first thing he said, if thou be the Son of God, to get him to question his identity. And like you said, you know, and I also see that people, many do not search the word to find out about their identity. And that's why with some, it is so easy for Satan to get them off the track, because they did not look what was part of the inheritance package when they got saved. That identity, as you said, came with it. And by you not searching in the word, then you're not having any knowledge of your identity. You have not identified who you are according to what God calls you. And so by you not doing that, and by you not cultivating in your heart, then the devil can cause us the easy question, even if we heard it from someone else, like minister from the pulpit or something. You know, that's why when I deal with people in the Word, I like to put their eyes on the Word. I don't like for them just to just listen to me talk. I want to put their eyes on it, on the Word, so they can see it for themselves. Because, as Brother Manny would say, when the smoke clears and at the end of the day, you got to know your identity for yourself.
Amen.
Because that is one of these great strong areas that Satan is going to come. Because if he came to our Lord and Savior who incarnated in the flesh to get him to question his identity, well, you can imagine what he'll do coming at us. And I know that many times throughout my Christian walk, Satan has come at me to try to get me to question my identity from the things that he was coming against me with.
Yeah.
So, brother, you right, I agree with you on that, what you're saying, you know.
Yeah, and you know, brother, you know, this walk of ours, I believe it's a season for us to, you have to come clean. You have to be real with what is going on. We are in a warfare. And, brother, every day that I wake up, I don't feel the victory. I'm just going to be honest. I don't feel the victory. You know, but God has told me that, or God has told us that we have to speak. And we can't be led by our emotion. You know, I'm reminded of Jesus when when his disciples were calling out to him, and Jesus was walking on this water, and the wind was blowing, and the waves were crashing, and here comes Jesus, just as smooth and unbothered as anything. But the picture that God showed me was deeper than that. In the midst of this, what did he control? He controlled his emotion. He knew who he was. He knew that, you know, this was a little off subject, but, you know, over time and throughout biblical history, they would often name rivers rivers. They were gods to, you know, most biblical figures. So when here comes Jesus walking on their God, taking preeminence, taking dominance, showing dominance over these gods, over what they called gods and what they created as God. And he told him, he said, silence, stop. Here, put this muzzle on. And the wind, and they said, what manner of man is this? But he controlled his emotion so that his emotions could control his words. And this is what, you know, brother, I've heard you say this over the years, and I've heard you say this, but It's about packing the Word of God in you.
Yeah.
Every day. It is about being aware. The Bible tells us to be sober, be vigilant, for your enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And this is why I, you know, the Lord told me to revisit the stronghold, the strongholds, because we need a spiritual detox.
Right.
Of a wrong way of thinking. We're supposed to take every day our daily bread, and brother, you can get up, even though you feel defeated. You can get up and walk in victory every day.
Right.
You can get up and take authority over what is trying to take authority over you. Because if you look at it and you notice it, it's a fight for authority. It's a fight for who's going to control. And, you know, the word of the Lord talks about the great controversy is on between who? Christ and Satan. And what do they both have? They both have kingdoms. And it's about, you know, and it's so funny how it talks about the Lord's kingdom, then how it's going to take over. That's what it's about. And when we begin to see, the kingdom of God, the Bible, Isaiah saw. He said, of the government and its increase. Government has influence behind it. That's why every 4 years we fight so hard. People march in the streets. They're upset. They're mad. They're depressed. They're rioting. They're picketing and doing whatever to try to get the particular government that they want in. But he talked about the government that was coming of it and of its increase, because when that particular government comes in, the influence comes in. So whether it's a good government under Trump or Obama or Bush or whoever or whatever government coming in, they're going to implement their policy and their agenda. And this is what God wants to do. But also, there's another kingdom, there's another government on the other side that wants to push this thing. And we see this as the prince of the power of the air and as the god of this world is trying to usurp his authority and his right over God's kingdom. We see it on a daily basis. And, brother, this is why we got to be pure. This is why, people say, I'm learning, and I am definitely learning, even in my walk, even as long as I've been walking with Christ, I'm learning even more and more why it is important to walk this walk and live this life every day, why it's important to pledge your allegiance to the government of God, because I'm telling you, this world system and this world that we live in, it comes to dictate and it comes to control. But the Bible said that our citizenship is in heaven. So we live by those laws. We live under those laws. It doesn't matter what man says. Now, of course, I'm not telling anybody that you can run any stop sign that you want to because you don't live here, you know, or you can do whatever you want to do in this country. No, we have dual citizenship. And any law in the kingdom of God will not conflict with a righteous law here, you know, because out of that comes there's a reason that law was created and it's there to create boundaries, and mostly because of God's love for us, because He knows that that government is there for the same purpose, is to shutter the people, is to guide the people. So you need law. You need government in every country. So God's idea for that was no different. But as we go on our daily journey, with our daily lives, we have to understand that there is an invisible realm that never sleeps. Even when we're taking time off, even when we're taking, brother, they ain't sleeping. And you know, even more so now, Because that kingdom knows that its time is just about up. And I'm quite sure you've always heard of the term saving your best for last.
Yeah.
If we think right now, brother, we don't need more prayer. I'm not prideful enough to not say that right now in my life I need prayer. I need as many sincere, God-loving people to pray me through, to pray for me. I need the prayer. You know, we need each other to uphold one another, to pray for one another. Why? Because we're fighting the same enemy. And I'm telling you, if we don't, you know, the Bible says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we can't defeat him in our own might, in our own power. We have to have the Spirit of God in us, and this is why, like you always stress, it is important to pack the Word of God away in you so that when the enemy comes, you'll have authority. Because the authority is in the authority is in the Word. You know, as it says in Revelation, I believe it's the third chapter, he said, because you have kept my word and you have kept my word and obeyed my name.
Yeah.
So when we do that, because the authority comes from the name, and as we keep his word, as David said, your word have I what? Hid in my heart that I won't violate you. As we keep his word, then we'll begin to see some of the mountains that are in our lives. You know, we have to be real also with the fact that we're facing mountains, that we're facing obstacles in our lives. And the enemy is there speaking, whispering, yelling, intimidating, telling us, you know what, this time God be cut out. Guess what, Brother Nate? You blew it. And God is upset with you. Guess what? You're insufficient. You don't have enough. Oh, you should have been praying a long time ago about this. Now, guess what? Now God has left you and hung you out to dry. If we knew the love of God, you can't know the love of God without knowing his heart, without knowing his mind, and that's only through his word. So, brother, I'm going to let you chime in and give your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, brother, you know, you hit it on the head. Yesterday I did a broadcast, and the Lord was dealing with me about, you know, proclaiming and giving the gospel, but at the same time being ready to suffer for the king's sake. And, you know, that is wrapped up in our identity, too, because when you know who you are in Christ, it clears up some things of why particular things are coming at you and why it's coming at you to purpose. But I come to understand from when the Lord is dealing with me that, you know, as you're talking about telling people to prepare in the word and putting the word in, brothers, there are some out there who are trying to go against the devil and stand in trials on their own strength. In other words, they're going without the Lord. And they think it's because they say, I'm saved, which is nothing wrong with your confession. But your confession without you putting the word in you, where is it going to get you? Because the word is your strength. And so when you don't understand, when you cut off your communication line, your true communication line with the Father, when you don't pick up the phone when he calls, or you don't pick up the phone and call him, and you cut your line off, so you're going on in your own strength, and you're thinking with your chest stuck out that when the devil rears head against you in your own strength because you are, quote, so bold and so brave that you actually going to overcome in your own, with your own strength, and you're going to find out that you're going to go down. Because one thing about God is he would never let anybody outdo him. He would never let that happen. I don't care if God can't tell you to give so $200, God gonna give you double back, because he ain't gonna never let you outgive him. He ain't going to let y'all do them. So he definitely ain't going to let you go in your own strength, whoop the devil, and stand in these trials without his word.
Amen.
That is not happening. Okay? Because
Amen.
If he let that happen, then you would have a right to boast in yourself. Okay?
Yeah.
But what people is missing, because of them not finding out about their identity, like you said, and by them not spending the time, and that's a key phrase there, brother, spending the time. That it seems like that phrase is making some people shake and quiver and get scared. Like they go, when you say spend time, they either come up saying, I want to, but I don't have no time. Listen, naturally, if you don't eat, what's going to happen? You'll die. So if you sit up there and say, I ain't got time to eat, I wonder how much longer you're going to get to say that. That's what I want.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. You know, brother, we are instructed. You know, first off, I think it's important that we highlight that everything that God tells us is for our benefit.
Yeah.
And everything that the enemy tells us is to go against God.
Yeah.
So you can know, you know, it's so funny how God, how the enemy can take, you know, things from our lives and use them against us. And God is trying to rebuild those areas. And that's why strongholds are, you know, or defeating strongholds is so important. Those places that we don't, I remember what happened when I was there. Oh, I remember that feeling. I never want to experience that in anymore. God told me, he said, every fear, every phobia that you have in your life, he said, I want you to overcome it. He said, And you know, it starts with confronting it. You have to confront it if you're going to overcome it. You know, I gave the illustration of David and how he went towards the giant. This impossible situation, God made it possible. God showed himself. It wasn't a story of David. Look at David, how he stood. Look at Moses. Look at Jehoshaphat. All of that was the power of God. Look at Elijah. Look at Joshua. So we have to get an understanding of what the enemy is trying to pull us away from. He's trying to disconnect us from this power that we have rights to, that God has given us, to be able to tap in. And everything that is a part of God's kingdom is we could have. You know, I talked in the last broadcast about how the kingdom of God is like a GPS system. It's voice activated.
Yep.
When you speak God's word, you are releasing authority.
Yeah.
Because when you deal with witches, and these people know how it works, they understand the spiritual realm. Why? Because every day of their life, all day, they are thinking about nothing other than one thing, and that's evil.
Yeah.
They are meditating on their craft. That's why it's called a craft. The witch is the one that implores evil. The craft is what they use to do it.
Right.
And they don't think a curse, brother. They don't think, let me think about it. They speak it.
Right.
Because that's what releases the power. And God is saying, it doesn't matter how evil it is. My word is greater. My authority is greater. And that's what I say. You know, God's kingdom is like a GPS system. When you speak into that Google or you speak into that navigation system, you notice what happens. It does and pulls up what you say.
Right.
And once it pulls up what you say, guess what it does? It takes you on a route where you start, whatever you spoke, that's the route that it takes you to. All the way until you get, and even when you get there, it'll tell you your destination is on the left. Your destination is right in front of you. Your destination is on the right of you. And God said that He said that's how my kingdom works. You have to open your mouth. And you know, as I was talking about, brother, about us having this DNA, being a partaker of God's same divine nature. What did He do in the beginning? What did God do to why are we here? Because God opened His mouth. He opened His mouth and He spoke. And everything that we see, according to Hebrews, everything that we see exists because He created it with the most powerful creative force that it is, the tongue. The Bible said that life and death are in the power of the tongue. That word power there translated in Hebrew as yad, or means hand. We know hands build things. They craft things.
Yeah.
They make things. It's in the hand of the tongue. So it is a creative force. And the enemy, if he can keep you silent, you won't simultaneously take authority over him. You won't put him out of your house. You won't tell him, you know what, your time is up here. And if he can keep us ignorant, if he can keep us vulnerable, that's how he usurps his authority over us, by keeping us in a place, locked in a place mentally that we can't escape. And that's how he uses, and that's what he uses. He uses what the Bible calls our ignorance. And the Bible tells us you're not ignorant to the devices of Satan. Well, how come more people aren't using this authority? How come more people aren't talking along the lines of this authority, saying, you know what, let's right now take authority over sicknesses. Let's right now take authority over our blocks. Let's right now take authority in our workplaces. Because as long as the enemy can get you in a carnal way or carnal mindset and a carnal way of thinking, and, you know, as the message book tells us, if you're not spiritual-minded, you won't detect his works wherein he's trying to destroy yours. So we have to stay in a spiritual mindset. And, brother, that's what I'm learning every day, that, you know what, my mind has to be renewed every day. I got to come back to God's way of thinking. When my mind starts to get away from me, this is pulling down strongholds, because it says, and having a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So what do I have to do? Sometimes I have to walk around and say, I will not exalt anything above your word, God. His word is the highest executive authority. And we have to look at God's word as our authority and our reality. The word of God has to be your reality. It's hard to look at a book. It's funny how we've looked at other books. We've looked at videos. We've looked at other things, and we believe they're true. When they told us about history, what we perceive about history is what we were taught. And we believe that, and we'll rehearse that. And it might not be 100% accurate.
Yeah.
But when it comes to God's word, we have to stop treating it as a fake. See, the enemy wants you. Now, when it comes to him, now how we'll demystify these, how we can demystify some of these things is, when when it comes to him, he doesn't want you to, he only wants you to think that he's a made up figure when he's trying to deceive you.
Right.
But yet, he still wants you to believe in and to buy into his lie. And it's funny how Hollywood will project these images of, oh, these are based on true, these are based on true events. Absolutely, it's based on true events. The Conjuring,
yeah.
Paranormal movies where you walk in the house and the cabinets are opening. Oh no, you ain't gonna mystify those things and make me think that they're not true.
Right.
They are true, and they are very real things. So, brother, if I got them before you every day, then you become desensitized to the fact that, oh, that's just a movie. It's just Hollywood. They're just showing stuff. So then this is how people get these spirits attached, and this is how the enemy uses his craft to get into your home, to get into your mind, to get into your way of thinking. Oh, the devil ain't real, you know. And even if he is, he's my friend. They have shows like Lucifer on TV downplaying him, but this is the setup. And it's so funny that many Christian people are buying into the same thing. And if we're not watchful under prayer, we are going to be taken and overtaken by the ploys of the enemy to destroy. So, brother, I want to let you get a final word in, and I want you to give us a closing prayer, if you would.
Amen, brother. You know, it's good that you're bringing this out tonight because we have to deliver this end-time message.
Yes.
Like you told the people, we are in a battle. And
yes.
It is time that we have to understand that in the walk with Christ, there are challenges.
Yeah.
And some Christians, you know, they can't take confrontation. And I tell them this, as long as you're a Christian, you're going to face confrontation. I mean,
yes.
The thing is, what you do about it, are you going to take off running or what? I was looking at John the Baptist. Now, he knew his identity per se of what he's supposed to have been doing, even to the point where his head got cut off.
Yeah.
He knew that his purpose was to fulfill the call in Christ, why he came here in the flesh. And so even in the face of being threatened, even in the face where you're speaking to, quote, leaders, he had to tell one leader, say, hey, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife, knowing that consequences would come from what he said. But because he knew who he was and his purpose in the Lord. And see, brother, what people fail to understand in this message you're giving is that, brother, if you don't know your identity, and then on top of that, believe in what God has called you, you're not going to be able to stand when you're delivering this message to a bunch of people who don't want to hear what you got to say. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the Bible said Herod, he listened to John the Baptist gladly because why? He respect John as a holy and just man. But when it came to these these evil oaths, it trumped his respect for John. And so therefore, because of these particular oaths, because now you hear today, so many people are getting into organizations where they're making these evil oaths, and these oaths are trumping. Your people, your sororities and your fraternities, they expect you to be more dedicated to them than going to your Wednesday Bible service. Okay?
Yeah.
Because of the oath that you made. Okay? So on the side, you're saying I respect the things of God, but when it comes down to honoring this oath that you made in the fraternity or sorority, they expect you to honor it over God. And so therefore, you know, we as you say, you got to get to know. And it's sad to say, brother, some Christians are not even interested in knowing their identity. I mean, I just have to put it plain. When you talk to them about getting in the Word, getting getting together with the Lord, they have this certain look on their face. Now, out of their mouth, they say, yeah, I know I need to do it. Yeah, I know I need to spend time. But the look on their face tells you, say, man, don't talk to me about that, guys. I'm all right. Don't bring that up. I'm okay. Even though the words out of their mouth is different than the look they're giving you. And then now all of a sudden they're in a hurry to get away from you because you're really talking 1 minute too long when you're telling me this. And so I got to get ready to go because my true feelings of what I feel may come out to you, and then it's going to unmask what I really think. So to cut that, I got to hurry up and run, and I'll talk to you later. So, you know, brother, you know, we have to deliver this end time message. And I'm like you, God has been dealing with me, brother, lately, as you say, spending more time with Christ. He's showing me how crucial it is. See, not only is it helping us in our relationship with God, but it's crucial because, and I want to say this, and I'm going to go into prayer. When you read into Revelation 13, just imagine the Bible said it's going to be given unto him, the Antichrist, to overcome the saints, not only make war with them, but to prevail. See, that takes it to a bigger degree because if it would have just say it was given unto him to make war, then we can say, he's going to get trouble started. But when it said and overcome or and prevail, and here you are, you got to walk in faith when you're seeing the enemy looking like he's doing whatever he wants to do at will. See, people ain't catching it. See, that's why it's about, that's why the Bible says, here is the faith and patience of the saints. That's why the statement was made. Because, like you said, it ain't about your feelings. When you see them, the born-again believers getting head cut off and stuff like that, man, you feel like you want to do something, But indeed, you feel like, where are you, God? What you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, what's happening? Don't you see brother, sister, so-and-so getting hung up there because of you or for you? What are you doing? So to see that, you know, but at the same time, knowing who you are and who they are, that's being actually killed, you know, to be able to hold on until Christ said, that's enough. Now I'm coming in to take these things out. That's the thing that says, that's why it's so crucial to know who you are, to believe who you are in Christ, and to have this, keep this connection with God because, brother, it's, man, my God, it's tightening up, brother, and it's getting more and more and more tighter, in these last days.
Yeah.
It's getting more and more challenging. The world is popping mics in front of your face and cameras, and they asking you, what do you think about this? And sitting there waiting for your answer. And anytime they see you fumbling at the mouth, stumbling at your words, tap dancing around the answer, they say, I got you. And the devil be right behind them say, we got him. We got him.
Mm-hmm.
Because only thing we have to have him do is being hesitant about his identity. Who he is when Christ said, you're more than a conqueror. If I'm more than a conqueror, so I could be able to stand. That's what Christ is telling me. If I'm more than a conqueror, then I should be able to proclaim the truth and still be able to be victorious. But because we don't know our identity, and because we don't believe in the identity that God given us, when they pop these questions on us, we're afraid. We fumbling at the mouth, we're shaking. We talking about, I don't want to offend nobody and all that. We're doing all this stuff, and we're stepping aside from what he called us to do. So on this note, I want to pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for this broadcast tonight and for you blessing my brother here to come forth with your word. And Lord God, everyone that was tuned in, even those who were just happened to flip in among the channels, and Lord God, they came across this, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for stretching forth your hand and touching hearts, Lord, that, you know, you provided an answer to them through what my brother was speaking. I thank you for every heart that was depressed and turned to this broadcast and heard and was uplifted. Every heart that was contemplating suicide, Lord God, they listened to this broadcast and they said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that because God has given me an identity. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for spoiling the plans of the devil, making him mad once again, showing him who is the true and living God, showing him who is all-powerful in Jesus' name. And, Father, I ask that you continue to bless my brother here as you give him more to give unto the people. And, Lord God, that his broadcast would be anointed and filled with your power. And, Lord God, that it would draw from the north, the south, the east, and the west, that they would come to hear the word of the Lord that comes from his lips. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, strengthen his heart right now, God. Strengthen his heart for the things that you have put into his spirit to speak on.
Yes,
the things that he has been hesitant, Lord God, to speak on. Encourage him, Lord God, in the movement of your spirit. In the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. My brother, I sure do appreciate you coming on tonight, giving your great insight regarding this issue. And brother, you know, as you said, you know, we have to stand together. We have to continue to pray. And most importantly, indulge in God's word. You know, we have an enemy out there, one enemy. And he's after all of us. So, you know, I think the wisest decision is for us to stand together. Amen. So, brother, once again, I thank you for coming on and giving your great insight. Until next time, this was Brother Kevin and Brother Nate. Until next time, may God bless you. God bless you, brother.